We've come a long, long way together. Through the hard times and the good. I have to celebrate you, baby. I have to praise you like I should.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for making us part of your Monday. I'm sure, you know, look, by the time that tournament was over, there was some beautiful conditions in Augusta. I love that course. I love everything about it. And now he's back in rainy Salt Lake City. Bob Casper, at least I think he is. Are you still at Augusta? Where are you at, Bob?
Scotty G, we're driving to Atlanta right now to jump on an airplane and fly home tonight. But that golf course was... It was tough the first couple of days with the high winds, and it got a little bit easier in the third round and a little bit easier in the fourth round, and beautiful weather in the fourth round as well, but a great event, no doubt about it.
So, Scotty Scheffler, opening round 66, and then just, you know, he has a 72-71, and then parks the car in the driveway yesterday with the 68, wins the thing, his second Masters. This guy's playing his best golf. He's still crazy young. I mean, I know this probably isn't fair, but we're looking at a generational golfer here, aren't we not?
Yeah, so far, you know, when you think about him just like 2.5 years ago, he hadn't won an event on the PGA Tour. He put Ted Scott on the bag as his caddy and then started winning with Phoenix to begin with. And then, just in the last 2 years, he's won nine times now with two majors, both at Augusta and the Masters. But, yes, he is a phenomenal golfer. And, you know, he's won three times this year already. He's got two players' championships as well. And you've got to watch out for him the rest of the year with the majors. Definitely, he's got the kind of game that suits any golf course. And, just watch out for Scotty Scheffler.
What is it about him in particular that has allowed him to be so good so early in his career? Because it seemed like there were some guys wavering and I don't want to compare him to old school Tiger, but it seemed like the better he played, the worse other people were around him, where like they just realized that we're not going to be able to compete with this guy right now.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is both the guys, all three of the guys had never... two of the three had never won majors. Ludwig Ober and also Max Homa. They hadn't won majors before. Colin Morikawa had. But Colin has not played always that great at Augusta, although he's had a couple of top tens. But he was playing with Scotty, and Scotty wasn't flinching.
Yeah.
Especially once he got to eight. He birdied eight, he birdied nine, he birdied ten. Now the pressure's on everybody to do something. Hebert hits it in the water on 11, makes double bogey. Colin Morikawa, water on 11, makes double bogey. Max Homa hits it over the green on 12 into the ivy, has to drop, unplayable eye, makes double bogey. And they just, and even though he made bogey on 15, it was the other three holes that set him up for those guys to start pressing. And then he could play conservative, optimistic golf by hitting in the middle of the green on 12, getting past 12, and then, you know, pressing it a little bit harder through 13, 14, and 15, and 16 before he got the final two holes.
When you look at golf and the era that we're in right now, we don't have, I mean, Scotty Scheffler, I think, you know, is kind of distanced himself, but is this as good as we've seen from like top to bottom in terms of just talent overall? That is just, I mean, this to me, we may not have the characters like the Phil and Tiger like we had, you know, 10, 15 years ago. But it just feels like, man, there are just so many really, really good golfers right now that are fun to watch that I can just turn on any random tournament and just absolutely enjoy watching these guys play.
Yeah, you know, Brian and I were talking about it. Scotty, with the way he plays, he's very mundane, very boring, because he hits the ball so well and strikes the ball so well, chips the ball so well, putts the ball so well. And Brian said to me, he goes, he kind of reminds me of your dad. My dad always kept his head down, would kind of just go about his business and not do anything real flashy, but always be like right there and having a chance to win, you know, 51 times on tour with three majors. Well, Scotty is kind of similar. He just keeps his head down. He plays, he tries to tune everybody out. He doesn't look at scoreboards, and he just tries to consistently hit shots to put himself in a good position to try to make birdies and move on to the next hole. Each shot is its own separate shot, and Scotty gives it full attention and hits phenomenal shots. So, yeah, not a lot flashy about him, but like you said, there are a lot of great players that are in golf right now. You know, you got the Jordans and the Rickies and the Spieths and everything, and then you've got this kid that finished second yesterday, Ludvig Åberg, who played his first Masters and his first major championship, yeah. And he finishes second. A year ago, he was ranked 3,000 in the world, and he's already moved himself up to number 9 in the world, or number 8, something like that. So that kid, you got to watch out for him, because he's won 3 times, once on the DP World Tour, twice on the PGA Tour. He's played a Ryder Cup already. That kid is, you know, he's in his early 20s, and he's going to be a phenomenal player as well.
Yeah, that was my next question. You know, there's these guys that come out of nowhere, and you're like, oh, okay, and then you never hear from him again. Yeah. But you think this guy's got some staying power.
Yeah, I do think he's got staying power. He goes about it the right way. He hits phenomenal shots. He was just in a position yesterday where he had to try to catch up and try to make things happen. And when that happens at Augusta, and a guy's got a 2-shot lead or whatever, then you really start to press, and you can hit an errant shot and get in trouble. But a phenomenal player. He's 6'4 or 6'5, can hit it for miles, but he tones it back and hits it adequately long enough in 300 yards plus, and then he hits great shots, and he putts extremely well too. So, yeah, you got to watch out for this guy. This guy's going to be special.
So I understand that his third and fourth round didn't go particularly well for Tiger Woods, but just put this in perspective. How impressed are you as a guy that golf is in your blood? You've been at the Masters. You've seen guys that have done extremely well there and guys that have struggled, really good golfers, to make 24 consecutive cuts at Augusta. Yeah. Just how impressive is that?
Well, it's Tiger said earlier in the week, it shows his consistency in what he's been able to do around Augusta. You know, he's won it 5 times, and he's made 24 consecutive cuts. Like you said, he grinded hard in the first 2 rounds to shoot even and one over to get in. He made it by 4 shots, because I think, no, 5 shots, because 6 over par made the cut. But, you know, one of the things Tiger hasn't done is play a lot of golf. That's the first time in the last year and a half to 2 years that he's finished a full tournament of 72 holes. So he's walking that golf course up and down those hills. I think it took everything out of him playing the first 2 rounds under those conditions and 35-mile-an-hour winds. And it was just difficult for him. The last 2 rounds. But you know what? He's planning on playing the PGA. He's planning on playing the U.S. Open. He's also planning on playing the Open Championship. He'll play another 4 or 5 times this year, and it will be great. Every time he's around, every time he plays, it's great for the game. And the fans yesterday were clapping for him every hole, on every tee, on every green. It was just fun having him there for the 72 holes and watching him play the full tournament.
Bob Casper joining us, Real Golf Radio. You hear it every Saturday morning. He and Brian anchoring the coverage for us there at Augusta. So with what you're, I guess, you know, for those of us that have not been lucky enough or privileged enough to get to Augusta and see that course up close in person, TV probably doesn't do it justice. What is that course like to walk? If you're walking those 72 holes, you mentioned that you felt like it took a toll on Tiger walking those 72. Yeah. Just how difficult is that course?
There's a lot of elevation change on the golf course. I mean, the high point of the golf course is up at the clubhouse. It's overlooking the whole property. And when you get there and you stand there at the back of the clubhouse, you look down to number two green. You look down to number seven fairway. You look down to number 10. Walking off the first tee, you walk down about 30 or 40 or 50 feet in elevation and back up another 30 or 40 to 50 or 60 feet in elevation to get up to the fairway. Number two goes downhill, sweeping right to left, the par five. Number three's slightly uphill. Number four's downhill also. Number five, back uphill again. Number six, downhill. Number seven, level off the tee and back uphill on number seven. Then eight, you have to go all the way back up to almost being even with the clubhouse as far as height is concerned. And then you have to go all the way back down and back up again on nine. Then all the way down on 10, all the way down on 11. 12 is the low point of the golf course. 13 is a little uphill. 14 is a little uphill. 15, a little uphill, then downhill. 16, par 3. 17, a little uphill, and then you got to come all the way back uphill again, another 50 or 60 feet on 18. It's just got so much elevation change to it from tee to green, and then you have all the undulation on the greens and all that kind of thing, all the side hill lies right to left, left to right. There's not a flat place on the golf course. And yeah, with a fused ankle and his body hurting him and stuff, it was a tough chore for him.
All right, so about a month away from Valhalla and the PGA Championship. What do we expect out? There's never too early to preview that thing. What do you expect out of that course? And is Scotty's tournament again to lose?
Well, I think he undoubtedly is. You know, being number one, having won three out of his last four and finishing second in the other one, undoubtedly he's the favorite in the event. Kind of like what Tiger used to do. He was always the favorite. And, you know, and the bet was against the field. Is Tiger going to win or is it going to be somebody from the field? That could be the way that Scotty's going to start clipping him off. But he'll be the favorite. Tiger won there at Valhalla. Rory's won there at Valhalla. It's a golf course that they're going to enjoy. They're going to have fun playing that course. And, you know, the PGA Championship always comes out or has the ability to come out with a really interesting first-time winner. So maybe this will be a first one for Scottie Scheffler.
You look at how this is playing out in terms of LIV. Did it feel like, because, you know, in talking to BT, talked about this a little bit with us, but from your perspective, did it feel like the emotions of all of that had dissipated quite a bit from last year to this year with the maybe some tension between the two sides?
Are you there?
Yeah. Yeah, I just okay. asked. Yeah, go ahead.
There wasn't a lot of tension. You know, the players all respect each other, their abilities and their play. I think it's fine as far as the players are concerned. The PGA Tour guys understand that the LIV guys went basically for the money. They got paid boatloads of cash and they decided to move. The guys that did decide to move for the most part had the ability or have the ability to play in major championships. A lot of guys did not, and a lot of guys are losing their ability to play in those majors because they're not getting world ranking points. So that's part of their choice and what they decided to do. But as far as the players concerned, the players don't have a problem with the other guys. I think the guy that they have a problem with is Greg Norman for fracturing the game of golf and tearing away the best players in the world where they only have the ability at the most to play with each other four times a year.
I was reading, and again, I can't remember what reporter was mentioned this, that Greg was just kind of stalking Rory for the tournament. Did you notice that as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he came in. He bought a ticket. yeah. on the secondary market, just a regular grounds pass. And he said he was there to support his players, but he decided that he was going to follow Rory a little bit because Rory does not like him. Rory does not like him at all. So, yeah, it was kind of interesting to see that he was there for a couple of days. And but Augusta National hasn't invited him, although he would have been in the past an honorary invitee because he won two open championships. But they haven't invited him the last 2 years because it would overshadow the tournament having him there, and they don't want anything to do that. So he did buy a ticket on the secondary market and was there for a couple of days. Well,
had he not blown it in 96, he can sit there and have a dinner with everybody else. But
that's right.
Yeah. Hey, appreciate your time, Bob. You and BT do such a great job. We appreciate it. Safe travels back here to a rainy Salt Lake City, and we'll catch up with you again here very soon.
All right, Scotty. Thanks, bud.
You got it. Bob Casper, Real Golf Radio, Saturday mornings, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.